Christ the King weekend usually will fall on or near Thanksgiving, pretty much any year, any given year. One of the things that I was praying through this week was that what does Christ the King have to do, right, with Thanksgiving? Right? What does Christ the King actually have to do with Thanksgiving? You know, Thanksgiving is just simply an American holiday. It's not like an international experience. But I think it's interesting that in particular for the U.S., those two things come together. What does Thanksgiving do with Christ the King? Every year when we have Thanksgiving, we have the opportunity to be able to kind of reflect on the year, right? We give thanks for something. We give thanks for what's been happening to us, right? There's even more, in my opinion, more of a capacity to reflect on our experience throughout the year at Thanksgiving than even at the New Year. We think about all these things because there's this kind of communal element that happens. And also, whether we like it or not, that communal element makes itself felt, right? The communal element with our family, our friends, the good and the bad alike, impacts us. We feel the presence of those around us. And so at any given year, we experience these changes. Sometimes they're bigger, sometimes they're smaller, for example. You know, for example, let's say your last child just left the house for college. You're now an empty nester, right? You have this experience of transition. You may have this hope, like, wow, what is going to be this new experience of in my life? What can happen in this? Or maybe you just retired. You're thinking to yourself, retirement. What is going to be the new experience in my life? Or maybe you just got married. What is going to be this new experience in my life? Same thing with having a child. What is this new experience in my life? There are these times and transitions in our life. And one of the things that is common for each of those transitional periods is that we have a desire, an expectation, that it become perfect, that something new happens, right? We want it to be better than the last period of our life in a very real way. We want it to be perfect, to be filled with joy and happiness without obstacle or challenge. Yet, we know from our experience that after this beautiful transition, there comes a new obstacle and a new challenge. Invariably, a new obstacle and challenge happens. So that means that each part of our life is punctuated by two things. We really look at our life and our experience, punctuated by two things. One is desire for perfection and joy, and the other one is challenge and obstacle. How do those two things coexist together? How can we make sense of that in our life? There's one thing I want to propose. We're faced with our desire for joy, for complete happiness, right, at each transition of our life. And when we're faced with the obstacle or the challenge, what brings those to you, we can't do that on our own. We can't fix those challenges and obstacles on our own. And furthermore, we're not enough in ourselves to sustain our hope for life, happiness, joy, and perfection. Because when we're living in our life, we run up against the obstacle, and we feel and we see that it's beyond us. It's beyond us. We can't fix it. So that could really lead to despair, a real lack of hope. Or even worse, in my opinion, is a kind of a neutral settling. Well, I'm just going to try to get by for this next period of my life. Right? That neutral settling where I just press like my numbing button somehow, right? That's even worse in my opinion. But nonetheless, how do we live in our life, especially when we have all this desire and this hope? We need someone. We need somebody else that is in control. We need to see somebody else present, a great love that is present, that is in control. Somebody who can actually do something about it. Do something about my desire that demands to be answered. Do something about the obstacle or the challenge that I can't face on my own. We need a king. We need a king. The solemnity of Christ the King is interesting for this reason. It's interesting because what we're doing here today is we're saying, I am not in control. That's what this whole solemnity is about. It's a feast or a celebration of the fact that I don't have control. Now, there are some of us in the pews who might totally freak out about that. But Father, I've built my whole life around controlling every aspect, right? And then there's some of us who go in and out of that period, myself included, where I want to control every facet of my life because I'm afraid. We are doing something that is kind of radical. We are saying we're not in control, and that is good. And that is good. How do our desires, how do the obstacles and challenges come into unity, into something new, with Christ being the King of our life? It has to do with the kingdom of God. Christ is a king, but he's a king of something. If he doesn't have a kingdom, then he's not really a king, right? Just by fact of the definition of the word king. What is this kingdom? What is this kingdom? I want to go to this gospel, and I want us to notice something about it. When he is talking about himself coming in glory, right, at the end of time, do you notice that he's coming in glory to a place that is filled with imperfection? It's filled with imperfection. I was a stranger. There are prisons. There are people who are hungry. All these things are signs of imperfection. Notice that Jesus is not saying that his kingdom is going to be a utopia. A utopia. He's not asking you and I to make our life a utopia, where everything is perfect. Whenever humans try to make something a utopia, I hope you remember from your history that it goes very badly, right? It goes super bad. Christ is not bringing a utopia. He's not coming to change all these external circumstances. He's actually seeing something deeper. He's seeing something deeper. He says, when did you see me ill or in prison and visit me? When did you see me naked and clothe me? When did you see me as a stranger and welcome me? When did you see me hungry and thirsty and you gave me food and drink? He's saying, I am such a king that I can come to the very center of a place of imperfection. My kingdom is not seen in the way that you think it is going to be seen. My kingdom is going to be found by you inviting me into your life, into the places of imperfection. The kingdom is defined not by its external looks, but by relationship. Let me give you an analogy. When we gather for Thanksgiving, if you gather with family and friends, what makes the home? Is it the building you're in, or is it the people that you're with? Obviously, it's the people you're with. It is not the external surrounding. It is the content of relationship that defines the family. By extension, when it comes to Jesus' kingdom, it is the context of relationship with him that defines the kingdom, not the external circumstance. Jesus' kingdom is not defined by an external perfection in the way that we think about it. It's defined by a perfection of relationship with him. But how does a relationship become perfect? And how does that relate to our daily life? Jesus wants us to invite him into the imperfection so that the kingdom of God, this relationship with him, grows from the center outwards. And that's what changes things. That's what changes an obstacle to an opportunity, a challenge to an adventure. Think of it this way. Jesus sees things a lot differently than we do. Just like maybe, for example, if you have a child, a young child, you see things differently than your young child does, right? Your young child wants to see good things, but they don't see it completely, and you see it a lot differently. You also see the good things, but you see it with a broader spectrum and a greater context, and you have a desire for them that gives them direction, right? By analogy, and by a much greater extension, is the Lord. What he values and loves and sees is not necessarily what you and I see as valuable and good. He sees places of beauty and opportunity because he wants to go there and make it beautiful and a place of opportunity where we may discount it. In other words, the more we're in relationship with Jesus, the kingdom of God comes about in us because our vision changes. We start gaining his vision for things. So what we think is heavy and difficult, he sees as light and simple because he's present. What we think is light or unimportant and not worth my time, he sees as gravely important and full of beauty. He is able to give us a new perspective, but how? Because he's present. He does not expect you and I to do that on our own. We're not just trying to follow a philosophy here. It's actually a relationship. So, the last thing I want to say about Christ the King in relation to our own life is this. For Jesus, every place of imperfection is an opportunity to invite him into something new. It becomes an opportunity of invitation. So, for example, you may have somebody in your life, right, where the relationship is not perfect anymore. It's not simple or easy anymore. That may be a challenge or an obstacle. That now becomes a place of invitation, where Jesus the King, Christ the King, is saying, invite me here. Invite me into that relationship. Pray. Come to me first. Let me give you a new vision. Let me help you see this person's heart in a new way. Or maybe you're even your own heart in a new way. Maybe there's a place where there's somebody in your life who's deeply suffering. They have their own prison that they're living within. Jesus is saying, I know you can't fix it, but I want you to invite me into the situation. Something beautiful may come from this if you invite me in. Be with me. Let me look at it with you and listen to what I think. Another example is this. Lord, I wanted perfect happiness and joy in this new stage of my life, but now I see the same problems are coming up. Maybe the Lord is saying to you, awesome, I totally understand that. You have the same problems coming up, and you still have the same desire. Maybe I'm allowing these problems and these challenges in your life so that your very desire may be answered through me. Through me. This is how Jesus becomes king of all reality. Not by the changing of the external circumstance, but by the invitation of his presence into our life. Remember, the kingdom of God is defined by your relationship, my relationship with him, not on the external circumstances of perfection. The more that we're in relationship with him, the more everything around us turns to beautiful experience. A place of meeting him anew, where we see that we're loved and we're accompanied, and that we do not need to be afraid that we're not in control, that it's good to give him control of my whole life, my relationship, surrender everything to him. That surrendering of everything to him in trust, in humility, in hope for happiness, without trying to destroy my desire or numb it away, is what defines the kingdom of God. That's what makes him the entire king of the universe. So my friends, we have a beautiful opportunity this year as we've kind of finishing our Thanksgiving weekend and we're celebrating Christ the King. We have the beautiful opportunity to invite him into our challenge, to invite him into the obstacle, to ask him to show me his love. Lord, show me your love. Show me how you're present in this. Show me how you're present in my difficult child. Show me how you're present in my difficult spouse. Show me how you're present in my difficult job. Show me that I don't need to have control. The more that we see him present and the more we let go of control, the more even the challenges and obstacles become adventures, places of beauty, and places of peace. And this is what allows us to welcome in everybody and every experience in our life. The more we have him at the center, we don't need to be afraid, and we can welcome everything and everyone that comes our way.